Here we go.
Hello. Welcome to Throwing Light. My name is Brandy Walker. This is episode 76, How I Overcame Extreme Anxiety. Hello, friend. How are you doing? Happy August. This is my favorite month because it's my birthday month and I'm a Leo. I hope that you are doing well, mental health wise, life wise. I hope that you are staying safe. I hope that, you know, I know that this is one of those months that, like, I feel like you either love or hate, right? Because either you're excited for what is coming with school or, you know, I guess it's kind of like the fall, like it's a transition time, or you're really sad about it. So wherever you kind of fall, and in addition to that, you know, all of the stuff that's going on in the world. Yeah, love to you. I had a different podcast planned for this number 76. I was going to talk about shadow work, and I was going to call it A Plank in My Third Eye because there's some cool things that have been coming up for me in my meditations. And then last night, as I was brushing my teeth, I've got this sudden urge to talk about anxiety, to share with you kind of some things that have worked for me. I feel like that's an important role that I get to play as a mental health professional and as a, I guess, a spiritual person. Someone who has done a lot of work on her own mental health as well. So from a professional theory standpoint, but also from, like, I've been through some shit and I want to share it with you. And we have some new podcast listeners. So my downloads have gone up, in the last month or so, like kind of a lot. So welcome. And I know that a lot of people are coming from TikTok and, friends from TikTok, you know, you may be interested in my weird spiritual stuff. I know you definitely are, but I've also been talking about a lot of tangible, like mental health, tips and tricks and hacks and stuff. So I don't know. I was just compelled to share this with you. Also, not editing this episode at all, aside from the music that was added in the beginning. We are going on vacation, like, later today. I didn't know if we were going to be able to go today because there's, like, a tropical storm and all this stuff is going on the East Coast, but we are. It's not so bad where we're at right now, amazingly. And I really wanted to get this out before we left. And so when I got to this amazing coaching call with Rob Bell last month or about a month ago, and I asked him, because I'm really self-conscious about stuttering, and I feel like when I have podcasts that I don't edit, like whether I'm doing what, mostly because I'm doing interviews, I feel really self-conscious about the way that I talk, my cadence and stuff. And so it was like, how, you know, it was about communication. Like, that was the whole coaching thing. And so it was like, how do you stop that? Like, how do you change that? And he was like, well, I don't really notice it. And like, how does it feel to be you? Like, how does it, like, basically, like, accepting who I am as, and accepting that as part of me. And that was really, it kind of like warmed my, it was like, it touched me emotionally. And so I've been playing around with editing this podcast less. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm going to put this out as an experiment and see how it goes. So, yeah, let me turn on my notes and let's get into how I overcame extreme anxiety. So a couple things before, I wanted to say first that, I guess my background with anxiety, I didn't have a name for it until like maybe less than 5 years ago. And I wouldn't have called myself somebody who had anxiety. I would have said like I'm a difficult person to deal with sometimes. I had grown up in a highly anxious home. My parents, super loving, amazing parents, right? However, they just have a very anxious energy. Like there's just, and I, when they come to visit, it's like, I have to separate my energy from them because it's just, it's so anxious. It's so like, it, I mean, we are a family of threes, Enneagram threes, ones and twos and threes, I think. And it's just, it's a very stressful energy. And then I met my husband, who is super mellow, which is cool, except I'm not super mellow. And I'm going to tear up saying this, but like, I think for the first several years of our relationship, I really thought like, it made me feel like something was wrong with me. Because I couldn't be that mellow person like that I felt like he wanted. I think he had a hard time with it. He, not that he wanted me to be different, but I think that he's so empathic that my anxiousness rubbed off on him and made him feel more anxious. And so it was just like a perfect storm of us stressing each other out and me feeling like I was the problem. And I think probably also him feeling like he was the problem because we have very different skill sets. He's very amazing. but he's forgetful and I was raised in we got together when we were in our early 20s. So a lot of the stuff, like we were still kind of had been carried over from our parents, like our ways of being and learning how to be together, even though we dated for like 3 years before we got married. I mean, I had a kid, so it was like we were like deep dating from the beginning, and there was a lot of baggage there. I was shamed for being forgetful and he was very forgetful. So I think I inadvertently shamed him. And so there was just a lot of stuff, you know, like stuff that you work on. We've been married for 12 years now and I still am anxious in certain areas of my life. And he has a lot of understanding and he doesn't take it personally. And that I think just comes with time. So anyway, so that's... my phone keeps going out and I'm trying to not edit this, but I'm trying to, look at my notes. So that's kind of I didn't have a name for it for a long time. Going to therapy and being able to name it and having my therapist essentially diagnose me with generalized anxiety disorder was very freeing for me. And I don't think diagnosis always have that effect, but for me it was helpful because it made me feel like, okay, this is a thing. Like I'm not just crazy. I'm not just hard to deal with. Like I have some anxiety and I chose not to use medication. Medication's not my path. It has never felt like a good choice for me. but I have, and I've talked about my own personal views for medication in different places in this podcast. But I want to say, like, if you, like, there are absolutely, and as a mental health professional, there are absolutely places, I think, where medication can be helpful. And I'm not an expert in that, so I won't say specific ones. But what I will say is if that's helping you, or if you think that it could help you, like, there's no shame in that. Like, that's helpful. And I think that it can be really good while you're working on it, especially. And actually, that my views on that changed going through school, because I think before school, I was like, I don't think that, I really thought that you could handle it without, like, handle, like, I guess, milder forms of mental health stuff without medication. I disagree with that now. I disagree with that original hypothesis. So it was not my path, but I absolutely would have, if I felt like it could have helped, I would have done it. No. And I have children who take medication, and that's the best path for them. And that was their, and especially my older child, that's his, and I'm not going to get into his personal stuff, but that was his, that's his decision to make as an 18-year-old. That's not something that I would say. He knows my personal views, but whether or not he chooses to take medication is, since he was 16, I have said, that's your decision. I'll help you with it, but I'm not gonna impose that as a parent. So just some essential starting points. The next thing I wanted to say is that for me, it got worse before it got better. So I started going to counseling. The counselor that we have now, my husband and I, in 2016, the end of 2015, maybe. It was after a really traumatic event. I've talked about this in the past a little bit, but I was sexually assaulted by a coworker. And so at that point, we started going to counseling. Things had been difficult, and just as a couple, but as, like, we both had our individual stuff to deal with. And our counselor is amazing. And so we've been working with her for almost 5 years now. We don't work with her regularly anymore, but we did for a long time. And so it was about 2016 when I was first kind of had, I guess, was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, and started to question whether I had some ADHD and some PTSD. I think that there was definitely some trauma stuff that was making the anxiety worse, and some attention stuff. But it got worse before it got better. I started grad school in 2017, and I absolutely 100% knew that, like, that it felt like such a good part of my path. It felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I started having panic attacks, and I would have them, like, while I was driving. And panic attacks for me were just, it was just an extreme burst of energy, of emotion, of tears, of shaking. I was dealing with a lot. I was healing from a lot of trauma at that time. I was really working on, I guess, the PTSD side of stuff, which we're not really going to talk about here. I was doing a lot of inner work. I had just had a really transformative session with my friend Rebecca, who does psychic aura readings, and had been introduced to the idea of past lives. And that was transformative, because I think that was part of my path. So there's a lot of waking up. There's a lot of, like, stepping into who I was as a mental health professional. but like it was scary. It was really scary and really hard. And so, yeah, it got worse before it got better. I also wanted to say I still have some anxiety, and I mentioned that earlier. I'll talk about that toward the end and how I manage that. But it's not like I don't have any anxiety now. But I will say it's so much less than it was. Like, it's so much less than it was. Like, it makes me want to weep tears of joy because it's so, like, it's so manageable now. And then the last thing that I wanted to say before I talk about things that I did, and this is my personal experience. I think this is me speaking more as a person who has dealt with anxiety than as a mental health professional. We have lots of different reasons why we have anxiety. It could be, you know, it could be, you know, the environment which we grew up in. It could be the foods that we're eating. It could be our current living situation, the people that we're interacting with, work. It could be trauma. It could be, you know, those are kind of a mix of like how the reasons I've had. It could be a sign that we're not doing our purpose in life. Like, it could be like, I think everybody has the ability, if you're dealing with extreme anxiety, I think your starting point is getting to the bottom of why. And I don't think you have to figure out exactly why everything is happening to get some relief from your anxiety. But I do think that, and what you may find is it's complex, right? So there are a lot of things that might be factoring in. And you don't have to have everything sorted out before you start dealing with it. But if you can start to get an idea of what is, like, what's going on in your life, especially if it's an area where you're having a lot of anxiety, starting to just not even heal it, but just like recognizing this is why I feel this way when I go into this social situation or whatever, that can be a huge help. It lets you know that you're not, you just have something to work with. You don't feel so out of control. So where am I? Okay. Okay. This is, looks like about 8 things that I did that started to heal my anxiety. And the first is meditation. And I say this with a grain of salt. So I don't think meditation is the answer for everybody. I was telling somebody in a class that I just recently finished the other day, because he was saying that he really wanted to have a meditation practice, and he was feeling some maybe some guilt because he hadn't started one. And the instructor was saying you don't have to have there's different ways to have spiritual practices. Like, meditation doesn't work for anybody. It shouldn't be another should thing you have to do. For me, I was going through a spiritual awakening of sorts. So this was fall of 2017. I had just done this psychic aura reading, and I was very interested in the idea of past life regressions. I was reading a lot of Brian Weiss, who I super highly recommend. And I was doing meditations partly to get in touch with my past lives, which not everybody, I think, can do. I just started doing a couple minutes every day too. I don't even know that I set out with an intention to start a meditation spiritual practice. I started meditating and I loved it. And I had tried I don't really like yoga. I'm super like high anxiety, like attention deficit, hyperactive. Like I never planned that meditation was going to be my thing. I liked it and it was helping with my panic attacks, which I was having at the time. It was just it made me feel like I was like a natural high. And coming from an addictions background, I love that. And I was like, oh, I can have that. And it was like it was helping heal my trauma. It was just like, it was a lot of stuff. I was getting a lot of insights. So I was also reading Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I know I've talked about on here a lot. And I mean, I podcast throughout this whole time. So you guys may know this story more than I realize. But I was loving Dr. Joe Dispenza's work on, you know, like the neuroscience aspect of what you could manifest. And so I was doing a lot of that and I was just playing with it. I threw out all rules. I was not anything that says like you have to meditate a certain way or, you know, you can't like want things. Like my basis for meditation was manifesting and past life healing. So that's what really worked for me. And I felt like I would meditate before class because I would get really anxious going into, I had classes like two times a week that semester. I had like my internship twice a week and classes twice a week. And I would get really anxious before going to work or to school. And because it required me to show up in a way that I hadn't shown up in a way before, I'd kind of always been my identity was wrapped around being the screw up, being the one who never finishes anything, you know. And a huge part of this, I knew if I graduated, I was going to be in a situation where I was going to be like a helper. And it was just, it was very bizarre and it was hard for me. So I would meditate in the morning and I would feel like I was walking on air. Like it would just feel so good. And I would still feel anxious in class, but it just helped me to get through it. So the second thing, I don't want this, we're just getting started. But the second thing, and that came the following semester. And again, and a lot of you know my story, and this was not planned. I quit alcohol. I had, again, another traumatic experience where I realized, and I tell that story in a different podcast. I won't get into it here, but I mean, I could have lost my life. Like if things had gone another way, it could have ended up very differently. And I don't fault myself for that, but I realized that I was never going to put myself in that situation again. And I just realized I didn't want it in my life. And that, you know, I talked about this at length. I didn't know that I had a problem with, I mean, and I don't know that that's true. I can say I didn't know that I had thought about for several years, thought about whether I wanted to quit alcohol. And I didn't think I could. I didn't think I'd enjoy life after it. Quitting alcohol for me, a couple of things became very clear. First, I realized it wasn't serving me. It wasn't helping me. Second, I realized I didn't want to miss it the rest of my life. If I was going to quit it, I was going to figure out a way to do it that didn't make me long for it. And I had been to AA meetings where people just kind of like seemed like their lives were like surrounded by this hole that alcohol had left. So, I found this naked mind, which by the way, so Annie Grace just published a book of stories, about, I think it's called 48. I'll put this thing in the show notes. I'm in the book, you guys. My story's in the book. So that's a whole side note. I'm in a book. So quitting alcohol, it helped because, like, it took away the cognitive dissonance that I had been feeling, and without really fully being aware of what I was feeling, I couldn't numb out in the way that I had used alcohol to numb out. So I had to figure out some other strategies. Through quitting alcohol, I started a practice of journaling every night, and that really helped. It made me feel so aligned with my purpose of like what I'm trying to do in the world. And I just felt like, I just felt motivated. I just felt like it helped. And I didn't quit alcohol in order to deal with anxiety, but it was extremely helpful. And I never had to spend another morning like wondering like what did I say the night before, even if I had just had a couple of drinks and I had just gotten kind of like grumpy. I don't have to deal with that anymore. Okay. The third thing is, and I, you know, this is not something that everybody's going to find helpful, but becoming stepping into a profession as a helper, as a service, you know, as a mental health professional. And like I said, that was very different from my identity prior to going to grad school. It has become more of my identity now. I've done like 3 years of this kind of work. So it feels more, it's like when you start to teach these things, you really learn them. And so becoming, and I don't think you have to like go full on, you know, go to grad school or whatever, but you know, whether that's for you, mentoring, tutoring, being a parent, helping your, you know, older or younger brothers and sisters, you know, kids in the neighborhood, or even just like, however it feels to help other people. I think we all have that. We're all supposed to do that in some capacity, whether it's major or minor. It helps. It helps. Like if you're giving advice on how to calm down your anxiety, it's going to help your anxiety. It's just kind of the way humans are wired. So the fourth thing, other spiritual practices. I talked about journaling, pulling cards. I have a really robust morning routine, and I can't do it every morning, but you know, in addition to coffee, I have my morning coffee. I have added in the last couple of months, I've added sometimes celery juice, sometimes lemon water. I also take a myriad of vitamins. And then I journal. I do like a morning page, and then I meditate, and then I write any insights that I have received from that meditation, and then I pull cards. And I've worked it out with Jermaine, even to kind of like I take Micah during different times of this morning routine. I'm also giving her breakfast and stuff. But yeah, my morning routine, and a lot of that is due to, you know, we're home every day. You know, I wouldn't be able to do all of this stuff if I had to be out the door, you know, by 8 a.m. And if I start working in the fall at a school, which I might be doing, you know, things will have to change. But for right now, this is working, and I really enjoy it. I think that spiritual practices could be like exercising. It's self-care practice, whatever you want to call it. Journaling, pulling cards, you know, setting intentions for the morning. It doesn't have to be really like long. It doesn't have to take a long time. I light a stick of incense every morning. But those kinds of things, creating a bubble of protection around you, you know, whatever it is, like finding out what you like, reading, that's a big one. These all like, and I just watched this thing, Michelle Leb, I'll link her. But how we form habits is by stopping and starting and trying different things and like finding an immediate source of gratification, like something that you like, from like if you're taking gummy vitamins, which I did for a long time, you get that, like it tastes good. Like that's your reward loop. So trying different things and being really compassionate with yourself, that's how we do it. And releasing like the idea of what we should do. Like if you don't want to have a spiritual practice, if that's not helping you with your anxiety, that's good. That's helpful. that's absolutely what you should focus. Like that's absolutely what you should do. Okay. Number five. So number five says, I manifested a baby and other things I wanted. this is kind of twofold. Like, so the process of manifesting is something that has helped my anxiety. And I talked about pre-paving in another episode. But pre-paving, just like imagining, like pre-paving is like, it's like shorthand manifesting, but it's like the idea that like things are just, you envision it going well, you envision it in your mind and you kind of play with it. You know, it's like a game with the universe. So you can pre-pave parking spaces. You can pre-pave, you know, that somebody will call you. You can pre-pave anything. And you can manifest anything too. And it doesn't mean you get all of the things that you wanted. But for me, creative visualization, practicing manifesting in a way that felt aligned with my, you know, spirit and calling and also what I wanted to do. Huge. And yeah, I manifested a baby and yet it wasn't quick. and I actually, you know, before I manifested a baby, I had a miscarriage. And so, you know, it's easy to say that I manifested a baby and she's 10 months old now and she's amazing, but it was a lot of work and it took a long time and I wasn't actively manifesting. Obviously I did other things like sex. But you know, I do think that this kind of, you know, positive thinking gets a lot of crap. And I think that there is you have to also do what you could call shadow work what I'm learning now is the benefits of looking at the things in like kind of that you don't like, that you think you don't like. But manifesting, like from a Dr. Joe Dispenza neuroscience kind of way, Bruce Lipton, you know, so helpful for my anxiety, honestly, because it was empowering and because so often it worked. Okay, so the next one is I did something that scared the crap out of me. And I would say I did a lot, like I've done a lot of things that scare the crap out of me. Sometimes we have to do things that ease our anxiety. Sometimes we do things that temporarily make our anxiety worse. But in doing them, you know, and something that scared the crap out of me recently was quitting my job. But the way that it went, I knew you can do something that scares the crap out of you that is not aligned with what you're supposed to be doing in the world. And I had no guarantees that it was, but I felt deep in my heart that it was. And the way things kind of worked out afterwards made me feel like it felt like confirmation. So those things that scare the crap out of you that you know are the things that are calling to you, they help with your like healing those anxious things, because sometimes our anxiety is because we're scared, because we are afraid of failure, or because, you know, it could be past life stuff. But we're afraid of what could go right. So when we do it, the universe says, hell yeah, and helps us out. The second to last thing is that I learned to trust myself. And so in 2019, I talked a little bit about this. I worked with a life coach who helped me realize how much I didn't trust myself. And I actually hired her to help me write my book, which I still haven't written. But the exercises, and a lot of that was, I learned energy psychology, EFT, tapping, which I've shared on this podcast, which I highly recommend you look up if you are not familiar with. But those kind of psychological shortcuts not only helped me get rid of the negative self-talk that I was so embedded in, and I thought I'd done a lot of that work, but like, you know, the more the work you do, the more you realize you have to do. So, yeah, I would say that went a long way in helping me trust myself. And, I was telling my friend, so 2019 was just wild for us. I graduated from my master's program, was pregnant, got a job because I just had to have a job quickly because I was about to have a baby, moved to DC, and then spent like the next 6 months questioning. And I mean, if you've listened to those podcasts, you know, questioning whether I made the right decision and whether we should have moved here and if it was safe. And it was just like all of the stuff about trusting myself was coming up, right? I didn't realize it at the time. The benefit of natural birth, of having a baby. And I had her in the hospital, but I had her natural, and it hurts like hell. Like, it's painful. but there's something so primitive, and you have to give into your body. You have to trust your body. And, it's so healing. So that's my experience. I know that not everybody has the ability to do that. Not everybody wants kids. There's a lot of factors, but, 2019 was really a process of learning to trust myself and realizing all the ways that I didn't trust myself. And I think that if I hadn't done that work, I wouldn't have had the courage to trust myself enough to quit my job in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. And just, you know, when everything hit in March, I was really anxious. And I think we're all kind of dealing with new kinds of anxiety now, right? But a lot of it is old stuff that is just presenting itself in new ways. And so if you can work through your patterns of anxiety, whether that's anxiety about your health, whether that's anxiety about your loved ones, whether that's anxiety about like social stuff, Zoom, it's all just coming up in new ways now. But it's all the same stuff. And so it all wants to be dealt with. And we have the opportunity to work with it. So the last thing I did, and I didn't plan on this being a thing either. I mean, none of these, like, I was not doing these things to heal my anxiety. I was doing these things because they were the next logical step in my life. I was having pretty bad lip eczema. It was very embarrassing. And so after doing a ton of research, trying a lot of different things, I made the decision to essentially give up dairy and eggs and then gluten. And so I didn't plan to become a vegan, and I wouldn't say I'm 100% vegan, but I am mostly plant-based at this time. Eating meat was actually not on plan with this kind of protocol that I was following. But I've been thinking about becoming vegan for a long time. What I thought for a long time was that it wasn't going to be the most healthy thing for me. What I realized in doing this thing for the last couple of months is that it is. And that's my experience. I'm not, you know, telling anybody else what they should do, but I feel really good. And, I think that's definitely had an effect on my anxiety, weirdly. But not weirdly, right? And I have been following this guy called the Medical Medium, and I hesitate again to share that because his approach is very, it's out there. I mean, you know, I go to a lot of weird places. I don't share all the weird places. But I think that there's some wisdom, and it's working for me. I will say, I don't know that if I believe all of the theories that he proposes, but I do think he's on the right. I think he's on to something, and I have to say, it's helped me. It's worked for me. So those are the essential things that I've done. Those are not things that you can just, that's not like a, you know, a 6-week program, right? Like, these are things that I've done over the last 3 years of my life. So it's not a quick fix, but I will say that starting in, you know, 2 years ago, I started to have a lot of relief from anxiety. I still have one area of my life that I still have a lot of anxiety in is driving, especially when it's raining, I'm on the highway, or someone else is driving. And this was not my experience. Growing up, I had no concern. My mom and dad are very careful drivers. Some stuff happened in my late teens, early 20s that I think kind of activated that fear. I believe that that was a past life thing. I believe that in my last past life, I died in a car wreck. And I have done a lot of healing in that arena. And I'm fine. Like, I'm not scared to go in a car, but and actually in 2000, I guess it was 2018, I was in two wrecks where I was, the first one in January, I was I was T-boned by a dump truck. And the second one in July, I was driving down the highway and a guy just kind of like pushed into my, like, just on the highway, hit my car, and I was driving a Mini Cooper. If I had been driving the Mini Cooper when the dump truck hit me, I would have probably been seriously injured, but I wasn't. I was driving an Equinox, and I think that the car was totaled, but I think that, like, we name all our cars. So his name was Edmund, and he was totaled, but I think that he gave his life to protect me. And then funnily, Minnie, who is a Mini Cooper, but we call her Minnie, like Minnie Mouse, with two N's. she got hit on the highway and was totally fine. I think that, you know, everything is symbolic to me. I was hit on the left side the first time, and the right side the second time. I think that there was definitely some, like, male, female, right brain, left brain. You know, I think there was some stuff, some healing that went down, but I still have anxiety in the car. Used to cause a lot of stress between me and my husband. He used to get really upset because he took it personally. He thought I was like attacking his driving. But he's realized that it's just kind of who I am. I was driving to Maryland a long time ago, 2005 or six from North Carolina, and I got to the highway part and I totally broke down, and my car didn't break down, like I mentally broke down and had to like find a gas station and ask Jermaine to come get me with his cousin, because I wasn't capable of driving the rest of the way. And it was like 30 minutes out, but lot of anxiety, car stuff, lot of anxiety, social anxiety, which as I've become, I would say that I guess the bonus way is becoming aware of my empathic gifts and learning to recognize what my mental health stuff is and what other people's mental health stuff is has done a lot for social anxiety. But everybody's different. Everybody's going to have their own stuff. And I hope that these tips help. I hope that, and you know, I would encourage you to make a list or write down like things that have helped you, because you are managing your anxiety. Like even when I had really bad anxiety, I was dealing with it. And, you know, kind of no matter where we are on our journey, we are doing an amazing job. Like I was doing the best that I could when I had to pull over, 15 years ago. And it was an amazing feat for me to be able to ask for help. So even though that help was like a lot, like I was asking a lot. So I hope this has helped. I hope that you are doing amazing. And, I think that I just want you to know that I love you, and I'm like, you inspire me. And showing up, working on your mental health, working on growing your spiritual gifts, it's so fucking cool. You rock. And you are doing work to be a force for love and healing and good in the world. And hell yeah. To that I say hell yeah. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day. Namaste.